Throwback Thursday. Yeah. What don't... Who's on IG? Instagram. So dorky. I love Instagram. I know. But I do. I love Throwback Thursday is my favorite. And if you follow me, you're probably annoyed every Thursday. I'm posting some old picture, but I love seeing old pictures of other people, and so I want to share, but this is one I probably won't put on Instagram, but I will show you guys, give you private audience tonight. Some of you guys might know of this picture or event, but this is me in seventh grade. I went through a phase. That's me in the middle. In the middle. And that's me dressed up as Miggs, the English chambermaid. In seventh grade, we had a school play. It was called The Devious Doings of Oozley Mudslime. And I auditioned for the male lead, and I got the female lead. I guess the seventh grade English teacher saw something special in me and made her think that I could play that role. But I think there's one other picture of me as Miggs. Yeah, there it is right there. It's pretty hot, I know. So I went the full deal, pantyhose, what do you call supportive undergarments up top? I don't know. Can I say bra here? Yeah. Stuffed. I was curvy. I practiced walking like a woman with my hips and all that stuff. And I played a woman in this play. And so for months, I was acting like a woman in rehearsals and all of that, and really trying to get inside of a woman's head. And it's awkward. And there's a lot of awkward stories that go with it, but there's two of them. I'm going to save one of them, but one of my top two favorites was that after the play was done, I was like in class, and people were talking about the play. People were talking about how funny the chambermaid was, most of the people knowing it was me, and some of the people not knowing it was me. And then it kind of was like, you know that was David, right? And they're like, no, that was a girl. And they're like, no, that was David dressed up like a girl. And like, these people had no idea. Like, I acted that well like a girl. I know it's hard to believe, but they really were confused thinking that was a woman, or a girl at least, playing the part of a girl, but it was really a guy. And so I tell you this just as an illustration, because we're starting this series for the next 4 weeks after this. We're going to do 2 weeks of Man Up and 2 weeks of Godly Woman. And so this week is just the introduction. And the foundation that I want to lay is I want to make a case tonight that gender is in a state of confusion. Now, you're sitting here in this room, and like, there's guys in the room, and they're going to be like, no, I'm not confused. I'm a guy, you know? And the girls, I don't know, is that how guys talk? That's how my small group talks all the time, all of them. Hey, hey, see, listen to them. Hey, I'm a man. And then girls are, I'm a girl. But it's more than just knowing, like, I'm male and female. And there's a couple things I want us to cover here in the next few weeks. And really tonight, as I lay this foundation, I want to make a case that gender is in a state of confusion. And it is like on the level of, hey, there's increasingly large number of people that are exploring or pursuing a homosexual lifestyle. There are increasing number of people that are living their lives as transgendered people, meaning I'm a male by birth, but I feel like I was a woman born in a male's body. There's people that are living that lifestyle. There are people that are confused about whether or not they measure up as a guy or as a man, or women, whether they measure up as a woman. For example, John Catherine's story that she gave earlier. She was confused at a point a year and a half ago about what she wanted to be as a woman. And one of the qualifications that she thought she had to meet was a certain size or shape or weight. And so even in this room, there are many of you that are confused. Yes, you know that you're female, or you know that you're male, but what does it take to become that? Or what does that mean? There's large, widespread confusion. If I were to pass out note cards to everyone in this room tonight, and I were to say, guys, write down a definition of masculinity and girls write down a definition of femininity, we would have hundreds of different definitions. Because I think we're confused. And everyone's either coming up with their own definition or they're going somewhere else. And I'm going to make a big case tonight to show you how confused we are. Because I want to show you the need for the next 4 weeks. Next week is going to be a definition, a biblical definition of what a man is. The week after that, it is how do you become that? Girls, I want you to come hear that. Because A, I want you to know what kind of man you want to look for someday. And B, we need you to help us become the kind of men that God designed us to be. And then the 2 weeks after that, we're going to define what is a godly woman. And then the last week is how do you become a godly woman? And guys, you got to come hear that. What kind of women are you looking for? And how can we help the ladies in this room become those women? So it's important that you hear both sides. But today is the introduction. Now before we get started, I want to give you a little disclaimer. Today's message is not hate speech. I want to be very clear about this. If you think that you're gay, if you think you're a lesbian, or you think you're gay, or you think you're bisexual, or you think you're transgendered, or whatever it is, you think you're a girl sitting in here and you think you're a boy caught in a girl's body, I want every single one of you to know you are welcome here. You are loved here. At least by me, and I know the adult leaders in this room, and several of the more mature students. People that go to Watermark, I want you to know that this is a place that is friendly towards people who are gay. It is. You are welcome here. Now, that said, God loves you exactly how you are. I love this statement. He loves me exactly how I am, but he loves me too much to stay how I am. Because I am selfish, I am prideful, I tend to pervert my sexuality in lust for women. And if you pervert your sexuality in lust, if you're a guy, lust for men, it's no different than my perversion. God loves me exactly how I am, but too much to let me stay that way. I want to show you just a passage, just as part of the disclaimer, as an introduction from Romans. Let's just look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and then 18 and 19. When Adam sinned, and this is what we believe here at Watermark, and I want you to know that you're welcome here, but this is the belief that we're going to process with you. When Adam sinned, we believe that God created man and woman, and Adam, the first man, sinned along with Eve. Sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, and so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. So if there are people that you know that are homosexual in their leanings or in their interests, the condemnation that you have towards them, if you look on them in a derogatory way, if you use gay as a slang term to put someone down, if you call someone queer as an insult, you're putting condemnation on someone else. That's the same condemnation that's on me and is on every one of you. So before you point fingers, turn the finger around and point it back at yourself, because Adam's one sin brings condemnation to everyone. But Christ, God, becoming man, his one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. So because, he just says it another way in verse 19, one person disobeyed God, many became sinners, but because another person, the God person, obeyed God, many will be made righteous. So here's what I want to tell you as a disclaimer. I'm not hating on anybody because I'm not any better than you. But I know a God who is better than all of us, and he came and died for all of us. And I want you to come here because I want to introduce you to that God. And I don't care what you feel or what you think or what you do, God loves you, and he loves you too much to let you keep doing it because it's bringing death into your life. It might not be bringing it now, but anything that is contrary to the way that he has designed us to live brings death into our life. And I want you to have life. God wants you to have life. And he came to show us the way and to bring it to us. So that's a disclaimer. We don't hate you. If you are a hateful person in this room, you need to repent. And I will ask you not to bring your hate in this place. So now let's talk about how gender's in a state of confusion. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you will give me your words, discernment and wisdom to share truth. I pray that I will expose lies, and that you would direct us to understand rightly who you created us to be. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So gender is in a state of confusion. both in the world and in the church. Both in the world and this is not a secular problem, all these worldly pagan problem. This is a problem both in the world and in the church. Like I said, if I were to hand out note cards, everyone would have a different answer. You might believe that your answer is right, but is your answer the same as everyone else's? Is your answer the same as God's? Do you know what a man is and what a woman is? Or are you even confused? Do you know how to get there? If you have a definition of manhood or womanhood, do you know how to become that? It doesn't happen by accident. Today's Watermark News story, if anybody was at church, there was a story. One of the things the guy said was, he said, I thought when I graduated college, I would be grown up. And then he realized that he wasn't. You see, becoming a man or a woman isn't something that just happens when you reach a milestone in your life. It's something that is accomplished and achieved. Do you know how to accomplish that and achieve that? I mean, we're all male and female. Shouldn't we know? Like, shouldn't this be something that you are acutely aware of, that we could all answer, all the guys in the room would answer the same way because we're all guys? Shouldn't we know where we're going? And girls, shouldn't you all be able to answer the same way because you're arriving, hopefully, at the same destination? I mean, let me ask you this. Is a man defined by his achievements in athletics, the size of his muscles, how far he can go with a girl, how much money he can make, how much stuff he has, how rough and tough he is, how much beer he can drink, his ability to dominate or abuse others? Is a woman defined by how skinny she is, her sense of style, the shape of her body, the number of friends she has, how many guys give her attention, how independent she can be, how much she can accomplish, how good she can cook, or her ability to have and raise children? Is that what defines a woman? If you answer no to any of those questions, well, what would you answer yes to? I believe there's widespread confusion when it comes to these questions, partially because nobody's asking these questions, and partially because we're looking in the wrong place. And when's the last time you sat down and you really asked somebody, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? And how do I get there? Nobody's asking these questions, but they're fundamentally important. And if you do ask them in the privacy of your own head, where do you go for answers? Taylor Swift, Kanye, Kim Kardashian, George Clooney, LeBron James? Who is answering these questions for us? Your own parents? The confusion is evidenced by the failure. There's a failure, guys, of young adults. And this is something I want you guys to understand as young people. These leaders, anyone in this room in their 20s and 30s is going to vouch to this and agree with it, I guarantee you. And they will explain it to you with illustration after illustration. My generation and the generation that's coming behind me, we are like never before in the history of the human race, we are failing to grow up. Our growth is being stunted. We are not becoming men and women. We are little boys in these adult men bodies. Our growth is so stunted, and you guys are coming right behind us because of this confusion about what a man is and what a woman is. And so we're talking about confusion in the world, and there's a couple articles. There's one in the New York Times. We'll just flash it up here on the screen. What is it about 20-somethings? Why are so many people in their 20s taking so long to grow up? And then it goes on and just talks about boomerang kids and their failure to launch. Boomerang kids mean they go out and go to college, and then they boomerang right back home. And they live off their parents. Failure to launch, they don't go out on their own. They're still dependent at home. Then there's this article in the Wall Street Journal, where have the good men gone? And here's what I want to do. I just want to show you the state that gender is in right now. And I'm going to read you some excerpts from this article. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to read it quickly, written by a woman. This is not a Christian article. This is just a woman in the world. And in the world, there's confusion about gender. Today, most men in their 20s hang out in a novel sort of limbo, a hybrid state of semi-hormonal adolescence and responsible self-reliance characterized by role confusion, emotional turmoil, and identity conflict. She says that these guys are more like the kids we babysit than the dads who drove us home. It's time to state what has become obvious to the legions of frustrated young women. It doesn't bring out the best in men. For these women, one key question won't go away. Where have the good men gone? Their male peers often come across as aging frat boys, geeks, or grubby slackers, a limbo between childhood and adulthood. Girls, get used to the guys that are around you right now, because they're not going to change much in the next 20 years unless something changes. That's a pretty sad state of affairs for you, ladies. You see, these guys watch movies with overgrown boy actors like Steve Carell, Luke and Owen Wilson, Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, and Seth Rogen cheering their awesome car crashes, fart jokes, breast and crotch shots, beer pong competitions, and other frat boy pranks. This is what these guys have grown up with as their examples. And you know they celebrate these guys. They quote them all the time. And they're going to become idiots just like them. What explains this shallowness? It's an expression of our cultural uncertainty about the social role of men. It's been an almost universal rule of civilization that girls become women simply by reaching physical maturity, but boys had to pass a test. They needed to demonstrate courage, physical prowess, and a mastery of the necessary skills. The goal was to prove their competence as protectors and providers. Today, however, with women moving ahead in our advanced economy, husbands and fathers are now optional. And the qualities of character men once needed to play their roles, fortitude, stoicism, courage, fidelity, they're obsolete and even a little embarrassing. You see, with plenty of money, free from family responsibilities and entertained by an array of media devoted to his every pleasure, a single young man can live in pig heaven, and often does. Women put up with him for a while, but then in fear and disgust either give up on any idea of a husband and kids and just go to a sperm bank and get the DNA without the troublesome man. But these rational choices on the part of women only serve to legitimize men's attachment to the sandbox. Why should they grow up? No one needs them anyways. There's nothing they have to do. They might as well just have another beer. And that's how our article ends. Kind of hopeless, isn't it? I mean, is this what we want? Is this what our society needs? Does this glorify God? These guys that are slackers, and so the girls are just stepping up and taking over their jobs so they don't need guys anymore? I mean, is this how the world's going to be? I believe you guys have a chance to say differently, but this is how it is right now. In the world, lines of gender distinction are blurring, all right? They're blurring, and I'm going to give you a few examples of this. So first, here's your picture of these frat boys, all right? Is this what a man is? I mean, they're in their 20s and 30s, but are these men? Is this what you want to become, and do you know how to get there? You might argue with me, well, David, you're only selecting certain men from Hollywood, and you're saying, well, there's really manly men, and those are the guys I want to be. I want to be James Bond. You know, go to the next one. I want to be George Clooney. I want to be Justin Timberlake. You see, they're strong. That's what a man is. A man is strong. They're successful, and they're sexual. They get what they want. Like James Bond, like George Clooney, Justin Timberlake. Well, guess what? There's women that are the exact same way. So here's some strong, successful. Katniss is the girl James Bond, y'all. Angelina is the girl George Clooney. And Beyonce is the female Justin Timberlake. Strong, independent, successful. They don't need a man. They've got them, but they don't need them. You think Angelina needs Brad?
Yes. Yes.
And what about women? I've been picking on men a little bit. Here's some of your little girl idols. You had Taylor with her, like, twig arms. And Princess Kate. And then, no, everybody's going to go, oh, I don't like Kim Kardashian, but.
She's married again.
I don't know. That was her first. But she is idolized in our culture and in our society, whether or not you personally idolize her or not. And guess what? I'm telling you, gender's in a state of confusion. The chicks are becoming more like dudes, and the dudes are becoming more like chicks. Look at these. They are. Like, I'm not trying to rip on them, but you understand, like, you gotta understand that I think Bieber, I think he's smart enough to know that chicks are sick of these pig dudes. And so he's like, hey, if I'm more like a chick, the chicks are gonna like me more. I guarantee you that dude puts stuff on his lips to make them shinier. And he does it on purpose, strategically. All these dudes, you've got metrosexuals, you heard the term? They're blurring the lines. Dudes becoming more like chicks. Independent women becoming more like dudes. And the lines of gender are blurring. Listen to a few of these things that society has to say. That's just what celebrity has to say, but listen to society. So we did a census in 2010. Listen to this. A recent analysis of the U.S. census data by UCLA's Williams Institute estimates that there are 700,000 transgender people in the U.S. Okay, transgender means that I am a man, but I'm living my life as a woman. I was born a man, living my life as a woman, or I was born a woman, living my life as a man. 700,000 in the United States. There's a 12-year-old boy in Germany who's being given sex change hormones, making him the youngest sex change patient in the world. And here's what his doctor, Dr. Bernd Meyenberg, said. It would have been a crime to let Kim grow up as a man. They're calling him Kim. Now, it doesn't take long to turn on Oprah or Katie Couric to see a special on these children, these four-year-olds, these five-year-olds that are playing, their little boys playing with dolls, and they've convinced their parents that I was born a girl, and their parents are told by psychologists and doctors it is a crime for you to let your child grow up in the gender that they don't believe they are. And so there's stories like this. They are becoming these 700,000 people. And this is what our country is doing. Nationally, organizations are adopting gender-neutral restrooms because women's and men's restrooms only acknowledge a two-gender system. Our society is moving to a place, and I just want you guys to buckle up and get ready, where there is going to be more than two genders that are defined by our society. Evidence for that in California. SB 777 is what it's called. It's a bill signed into law in 2007 by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. How did he become a governor? This law, listen to this, 2007. Here's what the law says. It allows students to choose their own gender when deciding whether to use the boys' or girls' restrooms and locker rooms at school. So if your parents tell you you're moving to California, look this law up before they make up their mind. A man dressed up and made to look like a woman competed against real women to become America's next top model. That's a man. She competed. He competed. I don't. What is it? On America's next top model. And then you've got an entire show, RuPaul's Drag Race, about becoming the next drag star, which means man dressed up as a woman. And this is on an entire television channel called Logo that is devoted to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lifestyle. I'm stating the reality. Now let me restate. I don't hate RuPaul. I don't hate the guy who dressed up like a girl on the show. I believe God loves them exactly where they are and exactly who they are. But I think he loves them too much to let them stay that way. And so gender is in a state of confusion in the world and in the church. Now, I told you in the world, the lines of gender, they're blurring. It's getting blurry, like what's a boy, what's a girl? Should we have bathrooms for whatever? Who should boys be attracted to? Who should girls be attracted to? What are the defining qualities of a man? What are the defining qualities of a woman? They're meshing together and getting confused. But in the church, the lines of gender distinction, let's be honest, they're a beating. If they're a blur, if they're blurred in the world, in the church, they're clear, but they're a beating. I'm going to read you some excerpts from a book about manhood called Wild at Heart and a book about womanhood called Captivating. Listen to what this says about the state of manhood in the church, and I believe it is true. First of all, Christianity, as it currently exists, has done some terrible things to men. When all is said and done, I think most men in the church believe God put them on the earth to be a good boy. The problem with men, we are told, is that they don't know how to keep their promises. Be spiritual leaders. Talk to their wives or raise their children. But if they try real hard, they can reach the lofty summit of becoming a nice guy. That's what we hold up as models of Christian maturity. Really nice guys. We don't smoke. We don't drink or swear. That's what makes us men. Now let me ask you, my male readers, in all your boyhood dreams growing up, did you ever dream of becoming a nice guy? Ladies, was the prince of your dreams dashing or merely nice? Really now, do I overstate my case? Walk into most churches in America and have a look around and ask yourself this question. What is a man? Don't listen to what they're saying. Look around at what you find there. There's no doubt about it. You have to admit, a Christian man is bored. See, the way we define manhood is be nice, be good, and you'll be a man. And guess what? That's boring. We're not giving guys a compelling enough definition, a biblical true definition of what God created them to be. And so they're trying real hard, but they're bored. It's a beating. And what about women? Here's what Stacy has to say about women. There's been little wisdom offered on the path to becoming a woman. Oh, we know the expectations that have laid on us by our families, our churches, and our cultures. There are reams of materials on what you ought to do to become a good woman. But that is not the same thing as knowing what the journey towards becoming a woman involves, or even what the goal really should be. The church has not been a big help here. No, that's not quite honest enough. The church has been part of the problem. Its message to women has been primarily, you are here to serve. That's why God created you to serve. In the nursery, in the kitchen, on the various committees, in your home, in your community. Seriously now? Picture the woman we hold up as models of femininity in the church. They are sweet, they are helpful, their hair is coiffed, they are busy, they are disciplined, they are composed, and they are tired. So our Christian men are bored and our Christian women are tired. Gender's in a state of confusion, y'all, in the world and in the church. And we want to offer you guys some clarity. And I believe God wants to offer you clarity, starting tonight and then continuing the next 4 weeks. So here's where I want to start tonight. I want to go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, open up to Genesis 1. If you read how God created the world, you will note something, and I want you to notice this. You may have never noticed it before. But all of creation, all of the world, is marked by order and distinction. Distinction means division, separation. There are clear, distinct things that God created. Here's a little outline from Genesis chapter 1. Check this out. God created the heavens and the earth. There is a distinction between our universe that we exist in and the universe God exists in. Heaven is a distinct and separate place from earth. Heaven, for instance, does not have clocks. There is no time in heaven. It exists outside of our time and outside of our space. It is very distinct from earth and the universe in which we live. Then God created light and darkness, day and night. There is order there and there is distinction. After that, God created sky, land, and water. There is clear distinctions between what those things are. After that, he created every kind of plants. There are distinct plants. Then he created sun, moon, stars, which work together to create seasons. There is a distinct winter, spring, summer, and fall. And the seasons are distinct from one another. Then every kind of fish, every kind of bird, and every kind of animal. And then he created male and female. Order and distinction. And I want you to note this, that every distinction serves a purpose that benefits the rest of creation and glorifies God. You see, we need day and night. If we only had day, we would go crazy. If we only had night, we would go crazy. We need the cycles of the seasons. We need the years to go by. We need plants for oxygen. We need various kinds of plants. To sustain our life, we need animals. Every part depends on each other. And all of creation benefits from the order and the distinction that God created. And all of this glorifies God. You know this if you've ever been to the beach and you've seen the distinction of the water and the land, and you could just sit there for hours and watch the waves roll in. That glorifies God. If you've ever been to the mountains and you've sat on top and you've seen the division between the great sky and the earth and the beauty that he created in the earth, you see that it glorifies God. If you've ever experienced the kind of love that I have with my wife, you understand the distinction and the order that is there. And if you've ever stood in a delivery room and watched a baby being born, a baby that is produced according to God's plan by the two things that he ordered and created distinct coming together to create a new life, you understand that creation is benefiting and God is being glorified. So here is the message for tonight that I want you not only to know and understand deeply, but to be able to carry to the rest of this world that is confused about gender. You are marked by order and distinction. Not just all of creation, but you specifically. You are either a male or a female, according to God's order and God's distinction, and you are marked by it. And not only that, let me just show you clearly verse 27, so I don't just show you an outline. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. There is order and there is distinction. And it is in the image of God. And so not only are you marked by order and distinction, your gender, that marking, serves a purpose that benefits creation and glorifies God. And here's just a thought I want to give you to think about tonight. I wrote this down because I wanted to say it correctly. Your gender, listen to this, your gender holds the key to your greatest opportunity to offer something to this world and bring glory to God. I mean, everybody wants to offer something to the world, and everybody who's a believer understands that your purpose for being on this earth, if you know God and you know Christ, is to bring glory to him. Your gender holds the key to that. Your gender is where that starts. What you have to offer the world starts with your gender, with who God created you to be. Your opportunity to glorify God, it begins, the key to unlocking how you can glorify God with your life, it begins with understanding who he created you to be within the context of your gender. The sun serves a purpose to bring light to the world, to allow there to be day and night and seasons and temperature changes so that we can produce crops and we can live. The sun serves a purpose. And the night serves a purpose, as does the moon. Males serve a purpose. And it is distinct from the purpose that females serve. Males are meant to glorify God, but in a different way from the way that females are meant to glorify God. Your gender is not something that you should take for granted. It's not something that you should be ashamed of or disappointed about. It's not something you should exploit for your own benefit or your own glory. Do you see that? Your gender serves a purpose that benefits creation and glorifies God. Most of us use our gender to benefit ourselves and to glorify ourselves. We take advantage of others. It's something, your gender is something that you should consider, you should explore, you should understand, you should embrace, and you should leverage for the good of others and the glory of God. So we're going to spend 2 weeks on what it means to man up, to embrace your gender as a male. What is a man? What purpose has God created man, male, to serve? And then we're going to spend 2 weeks on what it means to be a godly woman. So here's your application tonight, and then we're going to get you out of here. Two things. One, if you're confused about gender issues, talk to someone. You can talk to me. You might be embarrassed to hang around afterwards. People are like, what are they talking to David about? You can talk to any leader in this room. You can send us an email. You can send a text message to somebody. But if you're kind of going, man, I'm confused. I've always felt like I, you know, am not as much of a guy as the other guys are. I don't fit in. I don't know what it means to be a man. Or same with girls, or I'm a guy, I'm attracted to guys, and I don't know why I'm... this is a safe place to talk about that stuff. I'm a girl. I'm attracted to girls. What does that mean? Where does that come from? How does that fit my definition and what God's definition is? If you're confused, talk to someone. Don't get educated from RuPaul's Drag Race, please. Don't be educated by Tyra Banks. You can do better. Don't let Adam Lambert be your teacher. I'm serious. You can do better. Talk to someone that actually knows you and loves you and cares about you. And secondly, I want to challenge you guys to come up with your own definition of what it means to be a man or a woman. If you're a guy, I want you to write down, here's what it means to be a man. If you're a girl, I want you to write down, here's what it means to be a woman. And I want you to take it to your small group this week. And then in your small groups, I want you to work together and try to come up with what you think a good definition for manhood is, or a good definition for womanhood is. And then we're going to open up God's Word in the next few weeks, and we're going to look at what it has to say. So do these things. Talk to someone if you're confused, and work at your own definition. I really want you to think about it. Ask the questions that maybe you've never asked before, and then go to the right place to find your answers. All right? I'm really excited about the next 4 weeks. I hope we can all man up and become godly women. Let me pray, and then I have a few announcements to make for you. Lord, I just pray that we would fully understand, and I don't think we ever will until we're in heaven, just the genius and the beauty of your creation and the way that you have marked everything with order and distinction. And I know that you have marked each of us with distinction to serve a purpose, to benefit others and to glorify you. Open our hearts, open our minds to fully understand that. Let us worship you in the expression of what you created us to be. God, would you give us compassionate hearts towards people who believe differently than us about Genesis chapter 1? Would you help us to not be judgmental, to not be hateful, to not be derogatory towards people who believe differently, but understand that we are also born of Adam and that we are all born into condemnation. Let us find common ground with the sin that we share with the world, and let us lead everyone towards Christ so that we all might find your grace and your forgiveness and your truth, so that we could know you and make you known and walk according to your ways. Would you help us? We need your help to do all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.